every single piano. We had an encyclopedic file of papers, and at the time it seemed as though you even needed a music license to whistle in a pub. In the end, Play Me I'm Yours was raised in the House of Lords as an example of the stupidity of the Music Licensing Act. As a result of public campaigning on this issue, from this October you no longer need a license to put a piano in a pub or on the street. To date, over 2 million people around the world have played and listened to our pianos, and there's even spin-offs popping up, including one guy who's been inspired to give up his job and drive across America with his street piano on the back of his truck. If I'm honest, it's become a bit of a monster, but a nice monster and something I could easily spend the rest of my life on if I wanted to. But if nothing else, since my days of dreaming in the laundrette about strangers gathering together, it's proven without doubt that our love affair with the piano is far from over.
The essay was presented by Luke Jerriman, produced by Joe Wheeler. It was a Just Radio production for BBC Radio 3 and was first broadcast last September. Many past editions of the essay are available to listen to now or to download. Just go to the Radio 3 website. And now, this is BBC Radio 3. It's time for Late Junction with Max Reinhardt.
Welcome to Late Junction and to the second of our programmes this week from the Latitude Festival. We've gleefully programmed a stage in the new improved Lavish Lounge here, right next to the shores of the Lake of Latitude. And tonight, we bring you the digital delight of the Wolves vs. Aurum project. The drone paradise that is the Flower Corsano Duo. And Hammond Jazz Lunacy from Troika. And then there'll be sessions and interviews taking place in our studio truck, presided over by my Late Junction teammate Nick Luscombe, plus other adventures and encounters from all around Latitude. But first of all, let's have a little taste of the jazzy treat that Troika delivered on the Late Junction stage. Some amazing music from Troika, and we'll be hearing more of that in the programme a little later. But right now, I'm standing backstage in the lavish lounge with Walls, who are waiting to go on stage. But first, a word or two. In fact, I've got Sam Willis. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, you are the man who plays some of the machines in Walls?
That's correct, yeah, I'm on synthesizers.
That's right. So, a Lake Junction asked you, you Walls duo, to explore the Daphne Oram archive for a Lake Junction session, which we actually broadcast back in May.
You guys originally got in contact to find out if we'd be interested to collaborate with Daphne's archive, which is hundreds of tapes which have been digitized of her private recordings that she made with her Aramix machine and her various synthesis experiments and techniques.
And was that all new to you, or...?
No, Alessia and myself were very aware of her work previously and had a real interest in her work and what she does. But we'd never began to think that someone would give us this opportunity to essentially collaborate with these historic and really important recordings, which essentially were gathering dust. But for the intervention of the Goldsmiths Institute, who basically bought the archive and are in the process still now of digitising these recordings.
So tonight, when you go on stage, there'll be the three of you. And how will Daphne be represented?
Her recordings, we treated them and rearranged and processed them to work within a kind of a broader melodic and harmonic structure, which we built around her sounds.
So physically, you sampled and made WAVs and...
Yeah, so like basically we just downloaded the very modern very modern process. We downloaded from their website the Choice recordings, which we then took away and on our computers and equipment and resampled and processed, rearranged. Some of them more so than others. Some were left as they are. Like one of our favourites particularly is sort of the last track we're going to play tonight is entirely her melody, which we've constructed around. Others we've taken her sounds and repitched them and played them in different melodies. So it's a combination of using her music as an instrument and also rebuilding around her existing kind of melodies.
So after this, what's going to happen with your relationship with Daphne Oram?
Well, we're hoping to continue in the form of potentially a record. We're discussing at the moment, we're continuing to work on the recordings we've already made in addition to the Lake Junction material, which people might have heard in May, and building on that to turn it into a full-blooded album, which will further explore our dialogue with her sounds.
Okay, well, I look forward to receiving the album. But right now, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you sound like on stage.
Great, looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks very much, Sam.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
Jones versus Daphne Oram there, the world of the woman who invented the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, dancing into the 21st century, and more from their set later in the programme.
You're listening
to Lake Junction
at Latitude.
Right now, I'm standing outside our studio truck, and look, here's Nick Luscombe. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Max.
Hey, look at this. Look at this programme for the Latitude Festival. It's the size of a small paperback book.
It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. Who would you like to interview if you could interview any of these artists?
I can tell you straight away, I would love to speak to Bobby Womack.
Well, you know what happened? I went off and got out of the business for a while.
Yeah.
And I wasn't making no music, and I felt that it was more about me getting my personal life together.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and I'm not ashamed to say that drugs had a lot to do with it. Not heavy, but heavy enough to take me away from what I should be doing. So I said, I'm going to clean my act up. And I knew I was going to lose a lot of friends that wasn't going to come around because they said, man, he's different. You know, and I said, hey, it don't matter. This is where I'm at. And then I ran into Damon, and Damon was so on.
Yeah.
It reminded me the way I used to be. So I said, that's what I want. I can work that. You know, I'm blessed in a lot of ways, sis, because I know there's a few people around either can't hear or just don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
They just burn out.
Yeah, you
know?
Sure.
I'm not going to say it was drugs. I just think sometimes you got to know when to quit or back off or rest.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's something I'm not good at doing. You know, I mean, I once was 21, now I'm 69. You know, so I had to understand and accept that.
How did that happen? How did that time go like that? Do you ever think, you know, you think back to playing with Sam Cooke and next minute, you know, you're a little bit older, you're doing something.
It lets me understand things that I couldn't understand. But I tell you what, it's just that it's been a praying and a religious experience for me to go what I went through and be on that stage today. That's why I got talking about the presence. It's unbelievable. I can't explain it. I just know that I still have the energy, and I've always been my worst critic. I don't care how great a show was or something was wrong with it. So I think that keeps me reaching.
Yeah.
You know, it's always can make something better. And I never take the audience for granted.
Yeah.
When I meet them for the first time, you know. And I give them what I can get. I don't try to push it on them. I just let what will be.
I tell you what, it was amazing here in 110th Street earlier, and a song like that, which is obviously timeless, still gets played on the radio all the time. It's every time you play that song, do you feel that energy that you did, you know, the first time? Does it all kind of flow back?
I just reach back and go back to Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm from, and say, it's me and two brothers still left. And I often wonder, what would they be doing when I think about the Wilson Pickets, the Ray Charleses, Jackie Wilson, just a lot of artists, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix. I said, man, what would they be doing? Am I doing what I should be doing to represent them? You know, I don't know. I just know I was here for a reason.
Hey, Nick, Bobby Womack, your dream came true.
I know, brilliant. And such a great guy, really fascinating, really, really great to talk to.
So who's waiting for you now in the Lake Junction studio truck?
Well, next we've got Matthew E. White, who I saw perform earlier this year in London at a place called the Lexington. And he plays, you know, a very nice mix of Americana and soulful kind of American sounds.
For me, it's just fun to play with more people than just myself, you know, and so rhythm and percussion is such a big part of the music, you know, so paring it down to just me and my guitar and singing and them made a lot of sense when it came to doing things like this that had to be mobile, and we worked out a couple of things and have a lot of fun playing it.
Sure, yeah. The gig at the Lexington, the audience loved it. I thought it was great, and you really seemed to genuinely love that gig. I mean, you were so happy. You're inviting people back to your place to stay, right? When you said, if you come and visit, you're very welcome. So,
Yeah, it was great. You know, I mean, that was our first real gig in London and really in Europe, you know, and I think you spend so much time as a musician thinking about coming over to, you know, the side of things, and you don't know if that's ever going to happen. And it's a big step, you know, symbolically, but also just you're literally a long way from your home and playing music for the first time that far away, and people are paying attention and listening and interested, and that's something to be very thankful for. And I was then, I still am, you know. We're playing here at Latitude, and it's the Lexington times a couple hundred or something. It's like a lot more people, but it's the same thing, you know. It's the same thing applies.
Yeah, I love the fact that you've got an in-house band as well as part of your Spaceborne record mm-hmm. label. Something that doesn't happen often. I always thought it should happen more, and to help develop a sound and keep those people kind of close.
Well, it's a sort of a coming together of music that I like and a process that I like, and learning more about how records were made in the 60s and 70s, even into the 80s a little bit, you know. And I love that process. I love the idea of working together with the same people over a long period of time and using that energy to sort of explode out into lots of different projects and lots of different faces. But it's not, you can have that idea, you know, as much as you want, but it can't become something real unless you have the people around you that can pull it off. So, you know, starting up a record label or starting up something like that and assuming that you're going to be the centerpiece of it all is putting a lot of weight on your shoulders musically. Mm. And so I've been fortunate to find myself in a place where the musicianship is so strong that idea is not only an idea, but it can become a reality and actually work, you know, over the course of not only my record, but other records to come.
I think the live show, one of the really nice things, obviously, is a lot of crafted songs there, but the way you put that together, there's kind of moments where it becomes like a 4-4 electronic dance music kind of section as well, you know. That how did you develop that live performance? Was it something that came quite organically to you?
Well, I think the first thing is knowing that it's not going to be like the record. You know, I think the record is a piece of recorded music, and to me, that's a whole different art form than playing something live. So, you know, you get the guys in the room, and then a lot of it's letting ideas flow from just that group of musicians. Just like the house band, it's working with the right people, you know. And I sort of set a course in a very broad way, but it's getting the right people in the room and bouncing ideas off of each other and making music together, you know.
Mm. Thank you so much for being part of the track sessions for BBC Radio 3.
Thanks for having me. This is great. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thanks very much to Nick Luscombe for that session that he's presiding over from Matthew E. White in our studio truck.
You're listening
to Lake Junction
at Latitude.
I'm backstage and I'm talking to the Flower Corsano duo. Chris Corsano, drums. Mick Flower, you play something called a Shahi Baja. Can you describe the instrument to us?
It's a stringed instrument. Based on a North Indian folk instrument. It's like a one-stringed guitar where the keys are pressed instead of the fingers fretting the string. And there's lots of other strings on it as well that just play open.
And then Chris Corsano, you are renowned on at least two continents as an amazing drummer. And your style, at least from what I've seen on YouTube, looks a lot like John Stevens. Is John Stevens somebody who's influenced you a lot?
He's somebody I respect greatly. When I was starting out, I came to his music later than other drummers who are also in that world of free improvisation. Free jazz, the sort of American current of it, was maybe the first thing I had exposure to live and also on record. But Stevens, definitely, Oxley. There's actually a slew of British percussionists who are amazing and really inspirational. And then drummers for Ornette Coleman, Billy Higgins, it's a Coltrane and things. Dealing with time, not as strict pulse, not too like bass drum, snare, two, you know, on the two and the four, like the, you know, traditional rock things that I was hearing up until that point. Feeling the need for something a little looser, and a lot of the punk stuff I was listening to at the time kept hitting this self-imposed glass ceiling, and then I just heard some so-called free jazz, and that was just huge. It just opened this door and showed that there was a whole outdoors to go play in.
So you're going to go on stage in just a minute, and are you going to play several pieces or just one piece? How's that going to work? How do you make those decisions between you?
It's improvised, so to say anything would be, you know, counting chickens before they're hatched. But based on almost all our previous shows, we play once. We don't really break the way that we relate, and the Shahi Baja and just the what we've been doing and working on, I guess, is that it's movements within one long stretch of, you know, we're not going to stop and wait for applause and then start up again, you know, but we will. I would bet, I'd put money on the fact that there'll be crests and then, you know, valleys and things, and navigate how we feel.
And who leads who, or does that change as the piece goes on?
I think it's very much a two-way thing, you know, so at one point one of us may, you know, push a little harder and I mean, I may hang back at a certain point and just play a repetitive phrase, and then, you know, the space will be created for Chris to take off. There's no plan, though, you know.
That's exactly what we want. No plan, absolutely free. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you very much, Mick Flower. Thank you very much, Chris Corsano. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen on stage now.
Thank you.
part of a transcendental set from the Flower Corsano duo, featuring Mick Flower on Shahi Baja and Chris Corsano on drums. Now, though, I'm off to visit out Kindred Spirits, BBC Six Music. They've got a huge music stage here, and they're broadcasting some of the sets from the main stage. So I'm going to find Lauren Laverne and see what she makes of this festival.
The nice thing about Latitude is that it has a very kind of broad bill and a broad point of view. You know, it's about music, but it's also about the other things that people who love music love. So it's about theatre, it's about comedy, you know, great visual arts, books, all sorts of stuff. So it's kind of like a mindset as much as a festival. And it's a great bill this year. So definitely Six Music thrilled to have our stage here for the very first time.
And have you been out and about seeing some of those non-musical things?
I have, yeah. I'm looking forward to some of the literary guests, actually, who are on the programme. I bumped into author Dawn Porter, who's going to be doing a Q&A later, and I think we've got Tracy Thorne, hopefully, lined up to chat to us, who's talking about her brilliant memoir about her time and Everything But the Girl. She's actually chatting to Stuart McConey. I think he's hosting the Q&A from Six Music. So, yes, all one big happy family.
Certainly is, certainly is. Apparently we had one of your favourite bands of all time on our stage last night. Oh, Melt Yourself Down.
Well, they're definitely my favourite band of 2013. They've been a brilliant discovery for us. We were lucky enough to get them in session a few months ago on the programme, and I've been playing their tracks for months now, and every time, you know, we've had a new single from them, and eventually now we've got the album, which is the new eponymously titled album. People have just gone crazy for it.
So, Kraftwerk?
Yeah, Musik Deutsche. And they are going to be live on our show, which is very exciting. We're taking a huge chunk of their set, but then people can also watch it, which is really cool, on the red button on their TV.
But you're also going to loan us a track.
Indeed.
To play on Lake Junction.
That would be lovely, yeah. No, you could take it. Look, Lake Junction may avail themselves of whatever riches I have in my jewellery box. It's, you know, me casa, su casa. This is just take what you want, Max. It's all yours.
Have you seen the Kraftwerk 3D show?
I haven't yet. You know, I had the chance to go to the Tate and then I couldn't because I had to work on the night I had the ticket for, and I was absolutely gutted. So I can't believe that I'm here at their only British festival show this year. It's really exciting.
Very lucky. And great to hear your voice on Lake Junction.
Thanks for having me. Have a great Latitude.
That's why I see you.
Thank you.
the model, the music of Kraftwerk filling the night from the main stage here at Latitude, like a massive sonic cathedral made of ice. They were playing to a packed arena with an audience sitting there in their 3D goggles waiting for letters and numbers to tumble out of the sky onto their heads. And don't take my word for that. All this week on the BBC Red Button, you can watch highlights from the main stages at Latitude, including performances from Kraftwerk, Hot Chip and Richard Thompson.
This is Late Junction at Latitude.
Let's hear some more now from the set that started last May on a collaborative session on Late Junction, Walls versus Daphne Oram. We'll be right back. Mars versus Daphne Oram there, closing their set on our stage in the Lavish Lounge with a rousing Deep House finale. I wonder what Daphne would have made of that. You're listening to Lake Junction at the Latitude Festival, and don't forget that you can find full details online of all the music we're playing tonight, along with photos and videos of the festival. Well, now let's get back to the studio truck and see what Nick Luscombe's getting up to.
I'm at the Lake Junction truck at Latitude with Coco Rosie, the full band, fully analog as well, right, today. Just saw you play a little earlier at the Six Music stage, and which sounded wonderful. And you brought the whole show pretty much to here, to our tiny truck. And I understand you kind of recorded your first album in your apartment, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. The whole apartment was about this size. And then the bathroom was kind of included. And bathtub was another thing, gave a little feeling to a little bit of sound, a little acoustic.
It was the same kind of focus, because we had to share a pair of headphones and we had to share tracks. So we had to be very sensitive and alert, sure. You know.
And that was 10 years ago, right?
That's right.
And how have things developed? I mean, that's a lot of time, I know, but how do you think things have moved on for Coco Rosie since then?
Wow, there's a lot that has happened. We continue to be sisters, and in this last record have, in a sense, come back full circle to some material that for us is really human, intimate, and I guess political in that sense. And in between, we explored really kind of really dreamy songs and recorded three other records.
And who are you working with at the moment? So who you've been performing with here in our truck today?
Three band members right now. We have Tez from Paris, a beatboxer who we've been playing with for at least 5 years, maybe a couple of more.
7 years almost, yeah.
And we also did a lot of the record with him. And then we have Josh Werner on the bass, who we've also played with off and on for many years. He's from New York. And then Takuya, newest collaborator for us. We met in Brooklyn, who he's from Tokyo. I think this is the closest we've ever had our live performance reflect a record. You know, often we just sort of get off of the material and don't really care where it goes, but we found it possible with this particular group to really reproduce the material from the record.
And does it excite you, the kind of possibilities of where the music could go in the future?
It's hard to imagine future. Although we're fantasy fanatics, we live in the moment and really exist presently. It's hard for us to imagine.
I have a good laugh about the future image, too. I see us like a lot of kids and just kind of sloppy on stage, like this crazy family band image. It's probably not going to be anything like that, but
you have been talking about the circus for a while.
Yeah, we like caravans and, you know, just getting everybody involved.
Animals.
That's the future.
Hot dogs.
So which song are you going to play for us next?
We're going to play Child Bride. It kind of contains the main character, if there is one, of the record, who's the Grass Widow. Our version of the Grass Widow is an abandoned child.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Coco Rosie playing for us in the studio truck here at Latitude. But now it's time for jazz to permeate our every pore. I'm backstage in the Lavish Lounge with our last band of the night, Troika.
Hiya.
Hi there.
Hello.
And Troika, that's Russian for three or something.
I was looking for words in a thesaurus, different words for three or threesome, and came up with Troika. Spelled a little bit differently, but it's also a Russian carriage pulled by three horses.
And this is a jazz carriage, and there's a big buzz about you. People say that you are about to take over the world with the jazz of your trio. Do you think that's true?
Wow. Yeah, well, this carriage is actually full of artillery, so that would work quite nicely.
That would do it every time. Mm-hmm. You are Joshua Blackmore, and you play the drums.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to know is, what do you think is the major influence behind this band?
I'd say we all listen to lots of different types of music, but there's one in particular which would have to be Wayne Krantz. Yeah.
Wayne Krantz, tell us about
Deerhoof.
Wayne Krantz.
Deerhoof. It's kind of changed over the years. It started off very much Wayne Krantz, then Tim Byrne. Definitely Deerhoof, which are like an alt rock band from America.
Band called Hella.
Hella.
Another band from America.
Craig Taborn. Different like jazz, rock stuff, anything really. We're all into quite different things. So.
What do you expect your audience to do?
Well, I would hope with it being the Lead Junction stage, I'm expecting that they're going to be open-minded enough to enjoy the music. These kind of festivals are really, really fun to do because you get a totally different demographic than what you'd expect in most jazz venues. But it's also a challenge because you're competing with, as you can hear probably in the microphone, loads of background noise and things like that going on. Yeah, Kraftwerk pounding away. You have to be quite direct, I think, when you do a set at a festival like this. It has to communicate quite clearly from the start and be very clear how you're going to go about business, I think.
There are so many influences, you know. I really have no idea what it's going to be like. But I do know this. You are Kit Downs.
That's great.
I've heard you play some extremely mad and wonderful keyboard in the past. But tonight you've got something that is a kind of facsimile of a Hammond.
That's true. It's a digital Hammond. It's a kind of corrupted twin. But it's kind of good because it's got this big sub bottom end that I like to use. Just for this band, it works really nice. Ties up the guitar and drums quite nicely. But I also use some other keyboard sound effects and things. And
you also have a Leslie speaker, don't you?
Yeah, tonight I do, which is nice.
So the sound's going to buzz around that audience.
Yeah, kudos for Latitude for getting me a Leslie.
I think we're going to see the audience rise as one and dance.
Nice.
That's right. Anyway, so Troika, I'm looking forward to this.
Great.
Time to get on stage.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Cheers. We'll be right back. Thank you. Thank you so much. Kit Downs, Josh Blackmore, Chris Montague, we've been Troika, and that's been a real pleasure for us. Thank you so much.
So that's it for Lake Junction from Latitude tonight, but we'll be back here tomorrow with live sets from Anna Meredith and her lavish lounge orchestra, new folk diva Nancy Elizabeth, and the astonishing Graviola all the way from Brazil. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Hello, I'm John Shea, and welcome to another edition of Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. In the summer of 1946, the Polish spa town of Dużniki Zdroj started a festival named after Chopin, marking his visit there as a teenager in the 1820s. 6 decades later, the event is still flourishing, and a recital from the 2011 festival begins the programme today. The young Japanese pianist Masataka Goto had won first prize at the 9th Franz Liszt competition in Utrecht a few months earlier, so of course Liszt featured on his programme, alongside Beethoven. He worked on what became his last 3 piano sonatas at the same time. This is the first of the 3, Opus 109 in E major.